Yesterday we were talking a little bit about Rav Huna and everybody else, so we talked a lot about some of the tangential parts of the machlokes, namely how Dayo fits in this picture, what kind of chomer is it, how would you envision what chuppah would have been, kedusha nesuin, just practically what chuppah is, but the real heart and soul of the sugya in the sense of what is Rav Huna really driving at, and ultimately what's the engine that's driving everybody else to disagree with Rav Huna is a little bit less clear from the sugya per se. So we raised the question at the very end of the shiur yesterday, what is the essence of Nisuin? What is the essence of the chuppah that we are familiar with from Nisuin? And should it not spill over, should it not carry over to Kiddushin? So there is a fundamental question that's raised about what the very essence, what the very nature of Nisuin is all about. Is Nisuin in the Parshas HaKinyanim? Is Nisuin a Kinyan? Is Nisuin really a Kinyan of rooted openly in Dinim Amnus? It's different, but not fundamentally different from buying cars and buying land and getting married and buying avodim, etc. So chuppah is a kinyan nisuin. It changes status in terms of you know, invoking the principles of a kinyan. Otherwise, I say no, that's bichlal not when the nisuin is. The kinyan part of marriage is over already. At the time of the kedushin, isha niknes is not. She's already kinyan l'cha. There's no other added dimension of kinyan that's going to be accomplished. Even if you think that kedushin is a real kinyan, it doesn't mean the nisuin at all. Nisuin is almost what we would call, I guess today in modern day, we call it a matzav. It's a status. I mean, you enter into a certain situation. She is already niknes to you, and now you've entered into the matzav of living together, kishu ishto. Whether you pulled off that stunt by having a yichud or a lebiya, whether you did it by having a bedechin, whether you went home together, whether you had biya l'shem, you know, you go through the list of possibilities of how to create nisuin. But once you've entered into this new matzav of being bevesa ish, she'er v'sara, whatever the different terms that the Torah uses to describe, so you have in effect become a nisua. So it didn't go through the mechanism of kinyonim; it just almost kind of happened by itself. So Rav Shach in his Sefer Avi Ezri suggests that he thinks that's the ultimate root of the machlekes Rav Huna and everybody else. So you know, Rav Huna is talking parshat the kinyonim. He's talking not radically different than the style of sugas we've seen up until now. Up until now, in the Daladam Abeis, Hamad Aleph, we were trying to compare kinyanim. We're using different svaras. If this kinyan works X, then it works Y. And if this kinyan has this chumra, then maybe it won't work over here. Ma'ali kesser, shekin p'edu b'hekesh b'hekesh sheni. And ma'ali avama, shekin nikes b'kesser v'nikes. The term kinyan has been the permeating theme of the last daf of the Gemara, because says Rav Shach, ultimately, when you're comparing kesser and shtar bia to one another, you're searching within the framework of Parshas HaKinyanim. Well, to make this kinyan works by Eved, maybe it works by Isha. If this kinyan doesn't work by Pidyon Ma'aseh, maybe it doesn't work by Isha, and back and forth. So Rav Huna follows in line. Rav Huna is the next logical step in the Gemara. Well, if we were able to compare or not compare Kesser Shtar Bia one to another, back and forth, let's use those same types of svaras. And the truth is, you see almost the identical svaras being thrown around. The things that we thought ended on Daladam Abeis, Hadat Chetz HaMeisim, and Hamad Aleph, we see Nachabal, the same pizmin about Kavachomers, we see Kavachomers floating around, we see Shekin Potu Behektish and Marisa Shani floating around, we see Mehatzads floating around, all the terminology that we're familiar with in the last daf. Was restated here in the world of Rav Huna, says Rav Shach. That makes a lot of sense, because Rav Huna holds that Nisuin is basically a Kinyan. So if Chuppah can create a Kinyan Nisuin, then it's possible, it's up for discussion at least, invoking Kavachemes and Mevetzinos and Pirchas, etc. Maybe it's a viable option for the Kinyan of Kiddushin. And ultimately the Rabbanim put their foot down. Ultimately the Rabbanim say, you know, you're learning the wrong sugya, you're extrapolating the wrong thing, we're talking different languages. To talk from Kesser, Shtar, and Bia to one another, to compare Kavachomers, Memetzinos, that we could do. But to go from the world of Kedushin to the world of Nisuin, or from the world of Nisuin to the world of Kedushin, you're talking a different language. You're from apples and oranges. One is a Matzah, one's a Kinyan. It doesn't make any sense to compare one to another. And that's ultimately the engine that's driving the Rabbanon who we're driving. Based on this idea that Rav Shach is suggesting that we, who probably don't really accept Rav Huna, if ultimately the reason why we differ with Rav Huna is because we hold that Nisuin is not really a kinyan. Nisuin is really just a matzav. So there may be an important nafkamin ladina that we can, that may emanate from that assumption. So Yaduam before some, there's a big question to poskim about the role of Edim when it comes to Nisuin. You know, when it comes to Kedushin, that's a no-brainer. The Gemara says the Kaddish below Edim and Chashul and Kedusha, that's obviously nothing, Dabadavar, Mammon, etc. So obviously a need for the Kinyan Kedushin, for that matter, the flip, the Kinyan Gerushin, of course you need Edim. Do you need Edim for a chuppah? Do you need Edim Nisuin? Is there such a thing, such an animal called Edim Nisuin? You know, we all know, the last kibbut of the day is the, before you find two Edim to sign the marriage license. So the last kibbut of the day is Edim Yichud. Mechubur with Edim Yichud, Gavaldik, plenty of Almani, Tzadikim Gemur, right? So again, they say the greatest amount of Edim Yichud is usually missed having Ma'ariv, because everyone else does. Ma'ariv and you blew it. So Edim Yichud, Gavaldik is Chuf. So, according to many Acharenim, there's no such thing called Edichud. Never heard of such a thing. There's no Gemara, no Rishayim. Nobody says Beferish that you need Edim for Nisuin. So, Rav Shach says he thinks that this question that almost surfaced in the later poskim, do you need Edichud? Don't you need Edichud? So, Rav Shach says he thinks in his heart of hearts, it's Rav Huna and everybody else. He says, if you believe in Rav Huna's worldview, that Nisuin and Kedushin are really in the same team, they're really two different manifestations of the Kinyan of Ishus, so then it's possible to say that the Gzeres HaKosov of Dov Dov Mimamon is Chal on the whole institution, the whole Kinyani, all the Kinyani issues, all the Kinyani Dov Shavierva are subsumed under the din of requiring Edim. So then, just as we require Edim for Kiddushin, we should require Edim for Nisun as well. But if you say like we, say, says Rosh Hashanah, you say like we hold against Rav Huna Mikra Din, then Nisun is not a Kinyan, it's a Matzav, we would need Edim for. You're not doing anything. You're not creating a chalot in nothing's hand. It's just kind of happening by itself. You're not a bar kinyan. There's nothing happening here. What's for Edim? What do you need Edim for? So again, there are different opinions in the post given the Maisa, but Rav Shach's insight, there may be a little bit of mitigating factor in terms of just how serious we need Edim here. Every once in a while, we run into shailas with Ede Yichud. We take Ede Yichud so seriously, it's so hits about Ede Yichud. So every once in a while, you run into a wedding, and you realize there's some kind of a glitch with the Ede Yichud. So one of the most common glitches with the Ede Yichud just happened again at a wedding I was at this week. I've seen this happen multiple times. Sometimes I've been inside a condition. Is that sometimes you have the Yichud room, for some ridiculous reason, they set up the Yichud room in such a way that there are multiple doors to the Yichud room, in such a way that the Edim can't see both doors at the same time. So the couple goes into Yichud, and the Edim's job is to stand outside and wait and make sure nobody goes in. That's the Edim. If you hold the Edim Yichud, if you hold that's the Nisuin, that's what you have to do. You have to beat for the Edim Yichud. So they're standing there and watching to make sure nobody goes in, but they can't see. They only see one door, they can't see the other door. So that's a problem. You know, what kind of Edis is that? If you hold like Rav Shach, that's okay. But if you hold against Rav Shach, that you need Edim Yichud, so what's about Edis is that? So, l'chora, the only way to solve that problem is you have to be mechabit two more Edim. You have to find four Edim. Two Edim got to watch door number one, what's behind door number one, and two Edim got to watch behind number two. And then we'll add up two and two equals four, we'll end up showing with an Edis. So, whenever you do that, Edis Edis, you're running to a big problem, because the Gemara has a din called Dovav Lachatzi Dovar. When you have an Edim, so the Edim have to testify about the entire story, you can't have two Edim come and give you a half-baked story, and two other Edim come and give you another half-baked story, and then we'll add up the numbers and we count with the whole story. They can't do that. That's a chisaron edus. Davav lo chatzi davar. So there's a big machlekes in Rishonim what the parameters of that statement are, davav lo chatzi davar. So there is a Gemara that appears in Bava Kamra, Bava Basra, that in the Sugi of Cheskes Gimel Shalom, the din is that if I owned the field, everybody knew I owned the field for the last 100 years, now you claim that you bought the field, so you have to prove that you bought the field from the cheskes. It's called the cheskes marakama. Either you have to bring a shtar. If you bring a shtar, shtar mechira with Edim, came the shtar, that's wonderful. If you have a shtar, then you have to live there for 3 years. If you have Edim who proved that you lived there for 3 years and I wasn't meicha, I didn't protest, then we assume that you're probably the rightful owner of the field. How does that work? Hocus pocus is that? How does it work? Anyone know? So you have to call Amzev for that. He's learning Chesed Batmos. So he's really, every night he comes home and tells me another shtickle story about Chesed Kimoshon, and back and forth, how that works. Okay, good. So, but the bottom line is it works. So the Gemara says in Bava Basra that whenever you have two Edim who saw Reuben eating the field, eating the fruit for 1 year, then those two Edim, they moved to China. And then another set of Edom come and say, we saw Reuven eating the second year, but we weren't here the first year. And then we went to Australia. And then the third set of Edom comes and we were there the third year. We were learning in Eretz Yisrael, Shana Aleph, Shana Bet. Now we came back, Shana Gimel. Shana Gimel, our parents said we have to come home. So we're here and we're watching them eating the Gimel Peiros. So you have the third year. So now, in effect, the Beis Din has three sets of Edom who all come to testify. And one set of Edom say we were there 1 year. The Nachamol says the second year. The third set says the third year. So the Gemara says, shouldn't that be a problem of Dover Lachatzi Dover? So the Gemara says, no, that's okay. The Gemara says, that's all right. That's not a problem, Dover Lachatzi Dover. Taka, some Tanur, Rabbi Kiva said, even that's a problem, and we don't possibly. We possibly, that's all right. That's not a problem of Dover Lachatzi Dover. Why not? That sounds very Chatzi Doverish to me. Can't be more worse than Dover. No? You think it's okay?
Yeah.
Why do you think it's okay?
They're tying on 1 year. It's not like you have two different sets of Edom testifying on 1 year. So for each year, you have a full Edom.
But each year is meaningless. For Edom to walk to Beis Din and say, I saw a guy eat fruit for 1 year. You know, Beis Din will tell him, go jump in the lake. What are we going
to
do with that?
We just need to know that there were 3 years. We can add that up on our own. By the Yichud room, in case we don't know that there was actually a full Yichud.
What do you mean? I say the door A was closed. I'm telling you, I was standing there. Nobody broke through door A. We were there, door B. Door B was closed. So Beis Din is really smart, and they say, door A plus door B equals there was Yichud. So why is that any different than your case? To wait him come and say, Reuven ate the fruit for a year. The job of the lake, they're not telling me anything. The next set says the same thing for the second year, third year. Beis Din does the math. So Beis Din's so smart, they can add 2 plus 2 equals 4, they can add 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals 3. This is like preschool. Well, we can do that. Edom can do the math. So what's the conceptual difference? Why is somehow the Chesed Gimel Shanim, why isn't that a problem? Why isn't that a chisaron of Dov L'Chatzi Dov? So there's Machlekes and Rishayim, what the answer to that question is. Machlekes Taisin Derif. So Taisus writes that the reason why that's not called Dov L'Chatzi Dov is because Chatzi Dov means that the Edom did a lousy job reporting. I mean, they could have seen the whole story, and they didn't. That's like the Gemara gives a mashal. Two Edom walk to the and they say, we're going to testify that this child has one sayer. We want to testify that he's a gadol. We saw one hair. And the Beis Din asked, so why do you look at the other hair? I don't know. We were lazy. We saw one hair. And then the other Edom come in and say, we saw another hair on the other side of the Eva, whatever it is. We saw a different hair. And the Beis Din asked him, so why do you look at the other one? We weren't paying attention. So the Gemara says, that's called Chatzi Dover. So Tosfos writes that Dov L'Chatzi Dover means when there's a chisaron in the Daikonos HaEdom. The Edom was supposed to see the whole thing. They could have seen the whole thing. It was staring them in the face, and then they only looked at half the story. So that makes a lot of sense. That's a Dov L'Chatzi Dover. You didn't even bother to open up your eyes to look at the other half of the story. What kind of lousy Edom are you? That's the chisaron of Dov L'Chatzi Dover. But says Tosfos, if you have a situation where, what do you want from me? I'm only human. I saw whatever I could see. So says Tosfos, I'm only living in Bergenfeld for this year. So next year I'm in Eretz Yisrael. What do you want me to do? To come back? You want me to Skype in to look and make sure the guy's eating fruit? It's not Shayach. So I did exactly what I was supposed to do. I saw whatever I physically could right now. The fact that the story hasn't ended yet, the fact that there's more to the story, so bring in another set of Edom to figure that out. So Taisa says the reason why the case in Chesed Gimel Shanim is okay is because there's no chisaron in what the Edom are trying to do. They're medayik as best as they physically possibly could. So then Taisa calls from the Rif a different pshat l'gamri. The Rif says, you know, that they can't say Edom with this. Davar l'chazav is exeris akosov. The reason why Chesed Gimel Shanim is okay is because if Edom walk into Beis Din and they say, Reuven ate the fruit of what we thought was Shimon's field for 1 year. Do we throw the Edom out on the heads? Yeah, they don't throw them out on the heads. Fakir, Reuven's got to pay for the fruit now. It means the Edom thought they were coming to do Reuven a favor and say, Reuven ate the fruit for a year, let's get more Edom in and let's get a Chesed Gimel Shanim. If no other Edom come, so the Edus that they said is a valid Edus. The Edus registered and based it. They registered and based it in the wrong direction. They were trying to get Reuven to own the field. They ended up costing Reuven to pay $1 million for the fruit that he ate. So the Rif says, Dov L'Chatzi Dov means that Edus can't register in Beis Din on a half a story. Beis Din doesn't listen to half-baked stories. So stories that are not relevant, what do we say? When Edom come and tell half a story, you know what we say to them? True but what? True but irrelevant. But what are we going to do with it? You only told us half a story. We believe you. You're the most medayik Edom in the world. You're the most mamish nemanim b'nei nemanim. But we can't do anything with it. So we can't do anything with the Edus. It doesn't register on the list. Now when the second set of Edom come in, So we have zero and zero. This A just didn't register and the other A just didn't register. You can't combine two zeros. Everybody knows zero plus zero is, except in Shir, zero plus zero is zero. So the Rif says in the case of Chesedat, it's unique because even though the A just didn't register vis the Chazaka, it did register vis-a-vis to Mechayev to Echlas HaPeiris. So once the A just catches on, latches on, it makes it into the basin, it makes it onto this radar screen of basin, then it can be recombined with another Aegis later to become Chesed Gimel Shalom. That's the Rif's Pshat. So why am I telling you all this? No, interesting, Chesed Gimel Shalom is always exciting. Why am I telling you this? Because this is the Nafkevina in the case of the Yichud room. So it happened on Sundays. Two Eidim are standing by one door, and two other Eidim are standing by another door, and neither set of Eidim could see both doors. So if you hold like Tosfos that as long as the Eidim saw whatever was physically possible at that moment to see, so I don't have X-ray vision, I can't see around the corner, I can't see around the bend. So I saw it. Well, I wasn't an irresponsible aid. I wasn't a negative. I wasn't a careless aid. I saw whatever I could physically see. So that's like the guy. I saw him eating the fruit for this year. Next year I'm going to be married as well. I can't see him eating the fruit. So I saw this door. I can't see the other door. And the same is true for the other aid. But according to the Rif, the only way to salvage this aid is to make it into a Dover Shalem, is to say that it has some nafkaminas ladina somewhere on the radar screen and based in the files. The Aegis registered. Where did the Aegis register? Two Aegis walked away and say, we were there and we saw Reuben and Rachel go into a room with a locked door, but there was another door on the other side, and we have no idea what happened. So Bezdin says, you just testified about a closed door. What does that mean? Doesn't it? You didn't testify there was no sewer. You didn't testify about anything. So your Aegis didn't register. So according to the Rif, the Aegis doesn't register. It's not Mishnah Chatzin Dover. So the same pismin that happened on Sunday happened months ago and years ago, several times happened to me, that people who cornered me about this said, so what do you think about these yichud rooms where you have two doors? So I said, Lefiani is the idea, I think it's a machlekes tais in the Rif, in the sugya in Chesed Gimel Shanim, the tzir of the fact that many acharim say you don't even need edus for nesuah altogether, the tzir of the fact that it's only the Rambam who says that the yichud is the nesuah anyway. So I said, but see, for those things, the fini is daiti b'shas al-chak, after the fact, I think they're still married. I think that b'di'evet, they're still considered to be nesuah. So he said, wow, what would you do if you were beside a condition? I said, find another room for them. I said, what do you have to do it there for? So the guy said to me on Sunday night, but you just gave me a whole shtickle Torah. For 20 minutes, I was giving a whole shtickle Torah, why it's okay. You just gave me a whole shtickle Torah, why it's okay. The Gemara says in Gittin, Shtickle Torah is nice and beautiful, wonderful, but Lamaisa, if you can move to the other room, I didn't say that it's good to call a deus. You want not to be married according to the Rif? Or according to Tesis? The Rif. The Rif is also a Rishim. No. So, anyway, whatever it is. So, Lechatchi, we should try to coordinate the Yichud room properly. If it can't be coordinated properly, then you rely on the Mekiyah. And he had another shadow by the Yichud. A couple months ago, we had a chasana where the two Eide Yichud realized that they were possible to be made together. Because they were their wives, or someone was related to somebody. So we had to be Yichud over again. So another couple of minutes, do back into the Yichud for a couple more minutes. Good. So again, this is all assuming that you need Eide Yichud in the first place. If you don't need Eide Yichud, then there's nothing to talk about. Okay, good. So Rabbi Say, there's one less Nakud in the Sugya. Bottom line, do we pass like Rafun or not? What's the final word on this? Yes, Ravuna, no Ravuna. So what do you think the din should be? We read the whole Gemara, we had a lot of discussion. What do you think the din should be? Should we follow Ravuna? Well, according to some Rishonim, it's a non-starter. According to which Rishonim? Which Rishon would say that's a silly cash? Of course you can't accept Ravuna. Who would say that, like Pembali? Tosfos. Why? What did Tosfos say in that sugya? Ravuna was dependent upon who? Rabbi Tarfon, and nobody follows Rabbi Tarfon. So according to Tosfos and Nafhem Beis in Asugya, that Rav Huna's whole Kavah Chaymer, his ignoring of Dayo, is indicative that he's in the Rabbi Tarfon camp, then obviously the corollary of that Tosfos is that Rav Huna cannot be accepted l'alocha. But others disagreed with this. Rosh disagreed. The Peshu had a few options to get around Tosfos. So we still have a potentially open question. So we look at our Gemara and we try to figure out, well, which way is the Sugya going? Is there any indication in the sugya one way or another? So the truth is that Rava had a couple of refutations of Rav Huna. Shtei tshuvas b'dover, right? There are two strong refutations of Rav Huna. One is a textual pircha. Rava said shalosh tanan dad lo tanan. That was one kasha of Rava, and the other one, Rava didn't like the whole kavachomer altogether. But the problem is that who gets the last word in? Amalei Abaye. Abaye said, no, you have two refutations of Ravuna, not so powerful. He said, it doesn't say four in the Mishnah. It only mentioned the Mishnah things that are explicit in the Chumash, not things that you need Kavachayim is for. You had a kashya from the Kavachayim. He revamps and reformulates the Kavachayim. And see, he figures out a way that Bimlavitz Chosin Ravuna. And the Gemara comes to an end. So the curtain goes down. The two dots. It's beginning in Gnusugi, Nosanu Vamrihi. And we have a clear indication from Chazal what the final word was. We're looking into the world of the Amorim. We're trying to figure out, the Gemara says about Metzia that Ravina and Ravashi so far run in him. So when they wrote the Gemara, that was the final word, Lamaskana. So sometimes the Gemara is clear what the final word is. Hilchasa, Dadaram, Amorav, Hilchasa. So sometimes you know what the final word was. Here, it's a little bit less clear what the final word is, because if the Gemara would have ended with Rav's refutations of Ravuna, that would have been the final word. But Abaye is having a pircha, the pircha is a rabba, so to speak, and the Gemara kind of leaves it at that. So what can you tell? What do you do with all that? So some Rishonim said, you know what we do with that information? We throw our hands up and we say, we're not really sure. That's what the Rishonim called from Rabbeinu Chananel. Rabbeinu Chananel was a very, very early Rishon. He was before the Rishonim. He was still in the period of the Gaonim. So he was only a couple hundred years after Ravina Ravashi. It wasn't so long. So Rabbeinu Chananel says, I'm reading the Gemara, you can't get a clear answer with the Gemara what the Maskana is. So if you can't get a clear answer, we have to throw our hands up and say, Sasafek, we don't know what to do. And therefore, lu yitzu that the Meshuggah is going to stand under the chuppah with a girl without giving her a ring, we're going to have to say she needs to get me Sasafek. Other Rishonim said, you're right, that maybe in this Gemara it's not clear, but maybe there are other sugyas that bear some weight. So what other sugyas? Where else does the Gemara talk about this topic? So we saw this earlier. Where did we see it earlier? We spoke about, this is not the first time we met Rav Huna. Who remembers when we saw Rav Huna last time around? Back at the Gimel and Aleph. Remember the Gemara was going through the numbers. It was right after Esrog, you know, after we got lost in Esrog for a few weeks. So the Gemara asked, so the Gemara in Gimel and Aleph said, oh, the minyan deresh is coming lafuke chupa. Ulrav Huna diyama chupa koine. Now we have to thank Rav Huna, because if not for Rav, we wouldn't have gotten to that line, the Gemara about lemiute chalipin, and we wouldn't have had anything to talk about. How long did we talk about chalipin? Spent 2 weeks talking about chalipin. We wouldn't have had Dvar Avroms, we wouldn't have had Rashi and Rabbeinu Tams, and we wouldn't have known about chalip mitam kesef and shechur avodim. I mean, how to sell chomet. I mean, Baruch Hashem for Dav Gimel and Aleph. Thank you, Rav Huna. But just in terms of, can you see anything from the text of the Gemara, how to paskin? So the Rashba quotes from the Baal Lachas Gedolus, who says that the flow of the Gemara, the simple flow in the Gemara in Gimel and Aleph is, it's almost like the Gemara is saying Rav Huna is an afterthought, that we believe Amunah Shleima Minyana Dereisha Lamiyutei Chupa. Boom. One point Rav Huna who disagrees. All right, we'll give him a shot. We'll give him a shot at the Mishnah also. Lamiyutei Chalipin. So just from the flow, from the text, from the style of the Lashon of the Gemara, it almost gives the indication that Rav Huna was not the main opinion. He was almost kind of, we want to make him happy also, so we'll give you a miyute for him also. But we believe, Amunah Shleima, that the emes lamito is minyan deresh miyute, chup miyute, that Rav Huna is not correct. So if you go with that approach, so then it doesn't sound bode too well for Rav Huna. So, do we have an absolute crystal clear answer from Maseches Kedushin, from both Gimel and Hey? Not really. We have, according to Tosfos, it's obvious we can't accept Rav Huna, but others disagree with Tosfos. According to the reading of the Gemara in Hamad Beis, Abaye, Rava, it's hard to come up with. Gimel and Aleph, according to some Rishonim, sounded like it was indicating something, almost hard to tell also. So, we just finished Maseches Kedushin. Now, you have to look at another place in Shas. You have to figure out where else has Rav Huna come up. Is there any other Sugi that Rav Huna comes up? Anybody know? Any other place Rav Huna appears? Well, it depends who you ask. So there were some Rishonim who learned that Rav Huna does make a big comeback in Maseches Yevamos, in the beginning of the sixth parak, to such an extent that this may put us over the top. This may be the biggest proof that maybe Rav Huna Taka is correct lahalach. What? Where Rav Huna? What? The word Rav Huna doesn't appear on the daf. It's a little complicated Gemara. Anyone read the Gemara? Yeshchup lepsulos? It's a little hard Gemara. Basically, what the Gemara is talking about is the follows. There's a din, we spoke about this back in the Dal, about Nibul Apostle of Tzola, that under certain circumstances, if a woman has certain bias asuros that she's not supposed to have, So then sometimes she becomes psula leachilas truma. Depending on what type of bee it was, sometimes she'll become a zona, sometimes she'll become a chalala, right? We spoke a little bit, right? We spoke a little bit about this. Okay. Generally speaking, what makes a woman into a chalala is what's called, you become a chalala one of two ways. Either you're born from a union of a kohen and who you wasn't supposed to marry. So if a kohen marries a grusha, a kohen marries an amana, a kohen marries a giyara, said any woman who a kohen is not supposed to marry, the resulting child is a chalala or a chalala. And the other way to become a chalala is if you yourself were nivala to isere kahuna. It means if a kohen was ba'al grusha, so not only is she a grusha now, she becomes a chalala also. What additional halachas applied on now? She's a chalala, so what? She can't marry a kohen anyway, she was a grusha. What added dimension to her? She can't what? No, so a child taka won't be a chalala, because, unless it was from the kohen and the grusha. But the kohen and the chalala. But what else happens to her? That she's a chalala? She can't eat truma. So even let's say she was a bas kohen, even though in theory she could have eaten truma beforehand, once she's nivla to Kolzman, she was a grusha can eat truma. How do you know that? Pasuk says, rings a bell, okay? So grusha is allowed to eat truma, but once lechal zabi amav is makuyim ba, then she becomes chalol, means chol, means chulin, she lost her conditions kohuna, so then she can no longer eat truma. So the Gemara, it's clear as day that being boyel, say the amanah who is nivel of the kohen gadol, or the grusha nivel of the kohen hedjad, for sure becomes a chalala. For sure becomes psulti and true. So Gemara is a shaila, what would it then be if she didn't have bia with the kohen gadol yet? She had chuppah with the kohen gadol. So she stood under the chuppah together, the kohen gadol. Mama, she's standing there with you, and she's standing under next to the salmana, and they're standing under the chuppah together. So Gemara says, "Shali yesh chuppah lepsulais, or ein chuppah lepsulais." So did the chuppah somehow affect her status? Did the chuppah, not the ma'aseh, did the chuppah create chalalos on her? So on the spot, Rashi gets very, very nervous about this Gemara. What happened here exactly? Are they married? They're not married. What are the words being yesh chuppah lepsulais? Rashi says the Gemara didn't say anything about Kedushin. There was no ring that was given. What we're talking about is that a Kohen Gadol takes a mana, they stand under a wedding canopy together, and what happened? Why would anybody say yesh? What transpired? You know what Rashi does? Rashi digs up something. What does Rashi dig up? What does Rashi dig up? So Rashi digs up Rav Huna. Rashi says, it must be we're talking about a standing under the chuppah without a pre-existing kedushin. So it must be that what? Must be this is Rav Huna talking. If you don't hold like Rav Huna, so then there was absolutely meaningless. There was no halachic significance to standing under a chuppah pre-kedushin. So from the fact that the Gemara is discussing the standing under a chuppah, whether that could possibly isha of itruma, even the absence of a bia, it must be this is Rav Huna talking. So did anyone see that Rashi? Anyone look at that Gemara? So let's take a Rashi a little bit more carefully, because I may have a little bit overdid that Rashi. 14th of the Ramah Makamos, Itma Rava Miyesh Chub L'Ptzul Shmuel Eim L'Chub L'Ptzul Shmuel. Rashi says, Kohen Gadol Shehichlis Amana, 15th of the Ramah Makamos, Kohen Gadol Shehichlis Amana Bas Kohen L'Chupa V'lo Bo'al Leha. He wasn't Bo'al, if he was Bo'al, then it's a no-brain, of course it's Ptzul. Umeikar Nami Lo Kitcha. Says Rashi, there was no mention of Kedushin in the Sugya. Afilu hachi pasla itruma de benasha. Ava bichein, according to Rav, she can no longer eat truma. Why? The chuppah ki knisas bi'ila damya, says Rashi. Standing under a wedding canopy together, that's just too close for cover. That's like beer. Like in halacha, that's like a maisa beer, almost. But the rice and the rabbanan, not clear. But that's like the equivalent of a maisa beer. And that's the machlekes Rav and Shmuel. Whether yesh chuppah lepsulos, ain chuppah lepsulos. That's the case. There was no condition before him. What did Rashi not say that I said he said? What? So he didn't say a word about Rav Huna. Rashi did not reference kedushin dafei. Rashi just gave you a case that's eerily familiar to Rav Huna. Mekar nami lo kitcha. But Rashi himself did not say the magic words Rav Huna. Right? Do you ever notice that in the Rashi? So Tosfos on the spot. On the 16th of Mamkar was near Lari Lafarish, the Fishitas Akundras, the Ri. Right? Rashi's, this is already Rashi's great grandson, right? Right? The Ri was Rashi's great grandson, right? No. So the Ri was Rabbi Natam's nephew. Rabbi Natam's sister's son. So Rabbi Natam's sister was Rashi's granddaughter. This is Rashi's already great grandson. So comes the Ri and says, let me fahem for the Delta Zeta, what my great-grandfather said. He said, the pligi b'chubba b'la kesef, that Rashi did say that, that's not negotiable. Rashi said, but talk about chubba b'la kesef. The Rav Shmuel Savik Rav Huna, boom. So the Ri says, it must be that Rashi held like, that the sugi is going to leave with Rav Huna, because if not, if you hold that the sugi is not going to Rav Huna, so nothing happened. Standing under the chubba. So what can you say, mazel tov, nothing happened. So it must be Zakta Ri Badas Rashi. Rashi in the back of his mind knew everyone should realize we're referencing Rav Huna's Shita. If that's true, that's what Rashi really truly meant to say. If it's really true, that's what Rashi meant to say, so then that would give a tremendous degree of credibility to Rav Huna. Because here you have a stamsa in Yevamos where Rav and Shmuel and the whole flow of the Gemara for the next blot in the hip in Yevamos is all only true in the worldview of Rav Huna. That's a pretty strong raya. That's much better than a half-baked diuk in Daf Gimel and Aleph from Rav Huna, Diyama, Minyana, da da da. That's a lot better than an unresolved Machlekes Abayi and Rav about whether Rav Huna makes sense or not makes sense in the Mishnah. You have a whole Daf of Gemara, Maseches Yevamos, that's on the side of Rav Huna. That would be a very, very big, powerful push to Paskin like Rav Huna. Assuming, of course, that Rashi said that, which the Ri may have claimed he said it, but Rashi didn't really say it. There's no mention, Rav Huna's name doesn't appear in Yevamos. On the back page of the Maimonides, Mr. Ramban had an alternate reading of Rashi. The Ramban writes, Pirush Rashi, B'chupah shelo kitcha be'karv lo bala. That part you can't argue with. There was no condition before. There was no beer. That Rashi says that the Pirush. V'nira me'loshin pirushai, the bein l'ra, bein l'shmo, chupah b'lo kedushin, ain't a kaina. Says the Ramban, again, he wasn't part of Rashi's family, but he's also entitled to an opinion, says the Ramban, that from Rashi's Lashon, there was no mention of this chuppah doubling of the Kedushin. So, what's pshat? This chuppah is meaningless in halacha. You're right. El leman diyomi yesh chuppah mishum dekev dekrov lebiya psula. So the Rashi must have been that not that this chuppah really accomplished anything. In the truth, this chuppah was meaningless. It was varm b'talim because Rav Huna was rejected in Maseches Kedushin. Says the Ramban, what Rashi meant was that even though this chuppah doesn't really accomplish anything in halacha, that means it doesn't accomplish a kinyan kedushin, but it's maybe enough to pass the nisha to become a quasi halal, she can't intrude anymore. So the Ramban is willing to take Rashi's shita and say that Rashi himself was not committed to Rav Huna, but then the Ramban makes it about face that he rejects Rashi. If he ain't perish that nochan, mishum dekev du akana ain't a bedin shiti pasel. So if it's not being coined out, what is the mechanism with the pas? It doesn't mean anything. It's not teif, it's not chal. It doesn't register. So the Ramban ultimately rejects the whole Rashi. It goes with another pshat. And in fact, the way Tosfos learns the Gemara, in the end of the day, Tosfos rejects Rashi also. And Tosfos says the whole Gemara is talking about there was already Kedushin. There was Kedushin last week, and now we're doing Chuppah now. And Yesh Chuppah, so Zechuppah, the whole story. Basically, Tosfos and the Ramban go on their own way and take Rav Huna off the radar screen the Gemara. But at one small part of the sugya in Yevamos and Daftan Vav and Daftan Zayin, so Tosfos, at least the Ri Bidas Rashi, was committing himself to Rav Huna. So that would be a big, strong support to pass like Rav Huna. So when all the dust settles, what's the answer? Do we follow Rav Huna, not follow Rav Huna? So the answer is, depends who you ask. So according to Group of Rishonim, Rav Huna was rejected legam. That's what the Rashba and the Malach Skedah say. The Gemara in Kedushin is the only Gemara that really matters, and Rav Huna was rejected legam. Gemara's in Yevamos, then do Rav Huna. Rav Huna wasn't even a player there. The whole thing is wrong. So one extreme view in Rishonim is Rav Huna just doesn't make it l'halacha. The other extreme in Rishonim is basically the Ri Bedas Rashi, who is going to be forced to pass like Rav Huna. You have a Stam Gemara in Yevamos supporting Rav Huna. And then you have those who walk the tightrope in the middle and say, you know, Yevamos, we're not sure whether that Gemara means anything. We didn't make the Daftan Zion. We didn't even learn Yevamos in the Shiva. We don't know about Yevamos. We never heard of. Kiddushin, well, we learned two Gemaras. Daf Gimel, can't tell anything. Daf Hey, can't tell anything. You know, we're honest. We just don't know the answer. We throw our hands up to Safek. Safek Derai Sul Chumra. Maybe Rav Huna's Kavachem is right. Maybe Zimmer is right. Maybe Daya was not part of the picture. We don't know. So we have Rishonim who beferish reject Rav Huna, either Tosis because Rav Huna is married to Rav Tarfon's Daya, or rejection of Daya. We know Tosis rejects Rav Huna. We know that the Rashba and the Bahag reject Rav Huna. We know that the Ri, according to Rashi, probably brings Rav Huna back to life. And we have the Bahag, and we have Ben Chanan, who's throwing his hands up, not sure what to do with it. So you name it, any other positions you want. I can't think of any. Either yes, no, or maybe. How it plays out, Lalocha turns Rav Huna. But the three pivotal sugyas are Dav Gimel, Dav Hey, and then the sugya Dav Tanzai in the Bas. Okay? Any last questions about Rav Huna and Chopa? Anything else you want to know about getting married? How much you get married? Right, so this becomes really important, right. So if Rav Shach Shtichot Torah is right, that's going to have a big input, right?
And also,
right.
If you feel like
well, either they are being cheshish Rav Huna, or they don't think Rav Shach Shtichot Torah is right. Rav Shach, Rav Shach only wrote this, 50 years ago. People came before him didn't connect these dots. Maybe it's just the matzah. Maybe they didn't even use those terminologies. Rishon didn't use those terms, kinyan and matzah. Those are Shach's ways of reading into Rav Huna and the Rabban. Okay, good. All right, any last questions on that? Thank you. Let's move on.